Over the next number of weeks, like I said, we will look at and practically seek to be a blessing to others as Jesus was and is a blessing to us. A side note, this sermon series, this was actually a series that was done, preached by some of our LB pastors, our Lutheran Brethren pastors, and they make these messages available. You can find them on the website if you want to go to clba.org. Under resources, I believe. So it's a series that they offer to the churches, and so what we're going to do is we're going to have these messages, the outlines of these messages, and we're going to walk through that over the next six Sundays. It's based on a book called Bless, B-L-E-S-S, with a period at the end of each, which stands for something. And you're going to see that on your way. I'll tell you a little bit about it this morning, but I'll offer a sheet to you that'll kind of explain what B-L-E-S-S means more thoroughly. So based on a book called Bless, Five Everyday Ways to Love Your Neighbor and Change the World. I like that subtitle. Five Everyday Ways to Love Your Neighbor and Change the World. Dave and John Ferguson, their brothers, they have a church in Chicago area, planted a number of churches there. Let's look at Genesis 12. This is where, really, the blessing, we could say, began with Abram, who became Abraham. Let's take a look. The Lord said to Abram, go. There's a huge message right there. The Lord contacted Abram and said to him, go from your country, where you're living now, your people and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Wow. That's a huge blessing, right? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word to us this morning. Found in Genesis, God, you spoke to Abraham so long ago to be a blessing to him, and then through him to be a blessing to all people. So help us to understand exactly more thoroughly what that means this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. The message of the gospel, the message of the good news of Jesus Christ, is that God blesses us with the free gift of salvation. It's his gift to us. It's offered freely. It doesn't cost you anything. It's something that we not necessarily deserve, but we get because of his grace and his goodness. And God offers his son, Jesus Christ, in a relationship with him but through faith. That's a blessing. And we saw in the reading in Ephesians 1, you and I are blessed with all of the spiritual blessings of heaven. All the spiritual blessings of heaven. That could take a sermon series of six Sundays or more. Just to unpack that. Pretty cool. So God blesses us not because we deserve it, but because he's good and loving and kind and gracious. God blesses us so that we can be a blessing to others. That's the rhythm of the kingdom, really. The rhythm of the kingdom of God is this: grace received and grace shared. Grace extended. Grace received, grace extended. So God makes the promise to bless someone and through them to bless the whole world. This passage of Scripture, this Genesis 12, 1 through 3, and other passages, but specifically this one, it's known as the Abrahamic covenant. You can see why the blessing came to Abraham, right? And then to all his descendants after him. It's known as the Abrahamic covenant. So what's a covenant? we could say the what happened with Trent and Mallory yesterday was a covenant. It was an agreement made between two parties. Okay. So this particular covenant, Abrahamic covenant, was an agreement made between an Almighty God, Creator of the heavens and earth, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, our Heavenly Father, and a man named Abraham. What's so unique about this covenant is that this agreement that God does here is initiated and promised to be fulfilled by God Himself and by God alone. So it's an unconditional covenant because there's no strings attached in God's covenant. Unconditional, given from Him to whomever. So there's no contingency clauses in God's covenant. God is stating to Abram, a man who came from a pagan background, this is what I'm going to do for you. It wasn't something that Abram earned or it wasn't something that was a natural right that Abraham deserved or got, but it was extended to him despite the fact that he brought nothing to the table. So it wasn't deserved, but it was given as a gift of God's grace to him. Now the first 11 chapters of Genesis, this is found in Genesis 12. I made mention when I said, if you caught that in the beginning, I said, we gather as God's children to lift up our name. Did you catch that slip of the tongue? I've made much worse blunders in my life as a pastor. That's what Genesis 1 and 2 are all about, when sin entered the world, sin entered the world in Genesis 3. Everything was perfect before that, paradise, and then Genesis 3. But then fast forward to Genesis 11, and that's where people were forgetting about God. They were worshiping idols. They said, God, we don't need you. In fact, we are the most important person in the universe, and so we're going to build a tower and make a name for ourselves. We're going to build it, try to reach God by doing what we want to do. Okay, that's the Tower of Babel. That's what that is. Okay, immediately following that, boom, Abrahamic covenant. God said, okay, if you want to be by yourself, you want to do it on your own, you don't need me, okay, I'm going to confuse your language just to show you that who I am. And that's where we got languages. They all came then. Different tongues, languages. So then God said, okay, I need somebody who's righteous, a good man. Yeah, he's not a perfect man, but oh, there's Abram. Abram, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to bless you. And then through you and your descendants, I'm going to bless others. And then there's this turning point. God is making a way to bless and redeem or buy back humanity 5 times in these 3 verses. The word appears, I will bless you. You will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. All people on earth will be blessed through you. Who is doing the verbs there? Notice, my seminary professor often would say, when you read Scripture, when you're opening God's Word, notice who's doing the verbs. Who's doing the action verbs? Who's the subject? Who's the object in those sentences? Specifically, particularly, about faith and salvation. Who's doing the verbs? God is. Jesus is. Holy Spirit is. So God is showing His plan. We talked a little bit about that last Sunday. Remember when I said God's plan is His plan? Not our plan. Although Proverbs says a man will plan his course, but it also says, comma, God will direct his steps. It's okay to plan. It's okay to put things on a list. It's okay to be organized. It's okay to be ready for a to accomplish a project. It's ready to be ready for that project. It's okay to do that. Man will plan his course, but his life, but God determines his steps as we cling to him in faith. Okay, so it's his plan. God is carrying out his desire to bless humanity and reverse the curse of sin. God chooses Abram to make this commitment to for him and his descendants as a vessel through which the blessing was to come. A little bit about Abraham. Are you familiar with his story at all? Okay, again, he's coming out of a pagan land, Ur of the Chaldeans. That's where he came. And God calls him. Abraham, remember, married Sarai. That was her name at first, Sarai. But then God later changed it to Sarah. Abram later changed, his name was changed by God to Abraham. Father of many is what Abraham means. Okay. Exalted father was Abram. Exalted father, Abram. God changed it to Abraham. Father of many. Father of many. So that's kind of who he was. Did he do everything right? No. Did David, King David, do everything right? No. Are we still sinful and we have flawed natures? Yes, we sin. But man, God said about David, he said, he's a man after my own heart. He's seeking me. He's confessing his sins and he's seeking me in a relationship with me. So, it's kind of like this. I've done it before. I've said this before, this illustration. It's kind of like the swimming pool illustration. There's an empty swimming pool in front of me. I'm on the diving board. Hey, God, fill the swimming pool and then I'll jump. And God yells down to me. No. I'm going to fill the pool. No. Stop. Thank you. God's saying, you jump, and then I'll fill the pool. Right? That's what he's saying to Abraham. Abraham! Go! Abraham's looking around his wife. He told us to go. Where? Go, just go. I'll take care of the where and the what and the how. So he went by faith. That's the last part of this blessing. It says, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. That's the heartbeat of the whole promise. It's the point. It's the mission that God has laid out for all mankind. This wasn't just about Abram becoming a great nation for his own sake. It wasn't just a personal blessing. This was a global plan. This was God's plan, a global plan, his mission. From the very beginning, God's design was not just to bless one man or one family. It was to bless the world through them. They were blessed to be a blessing. The covenant strategy for redeeming the world wasn't a flood or fire this time. It was blessing. It was grace. It was generosity poured out with the intent that it would overflow to others. The blessing of Genesis 12 that we're looking at this morning was always pointing forward to something bigger, someone better. Did you hear it? Someone. Someone better. That someone is Jesus. The Apostle Paul explains this in Galatians. Chapter 3 says this. The promises, the covenant to Abraham, the promise from God to Abraham. The promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. Scripture does not say, Paul says, and to seeds. Meaning many people, but and to your seed, meaning one person, who is Christ. So Jesus is the fulfillment of God's promise to Abraham. See that? Jesus is the fulfillment of God's promise to Abraham. He is the blessing to the whole world. Jesus blessed humanity or fulfilled the promise of Genesis 12 in three ways. First way, Jesus blessed humanity in his life by healing the sick, forgiving sinners, welcoming the outcast, teaching about the kingdom of God. For 3 years of his public ministry, at the age of 30, Jesus walked around. First he called the 12, then he walked this earth. He walked around and he'd go from village to village and he would see people, sometimes people on the margins, sometimes the outcast, sick, hurting, and he would touch them in some way through his words, through his touch, through his miracles, through his teaching. First way. Second way, Jesus blessed humanity in his death. Jesus blessed humanity in his death by taking the curse of sin upon himself on the cross so that we could receive the blessing of being made right with God. He took the sin of the whole world on himself so that we could be forgiven and be a blessing to those around us. Second way. Third way. Jesus blessed humanity in his resurrection by defeating death, offering eternal life, and opening the door to a restored relationship to the Father. When sin entered the world, that relationship was broken. Immediately, the seed of the woman, remember what I said about in Galatians 3, the seed, Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman will crush your head, defeat Satan, sin, death, and the devil. He sent a rescuer. And it came through Abraham and his descendants, and ultimately the blessing of Jesus. This is why Paul goes on to say in Galatians 3, understand then that those who have faith are children of Abraham. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. So did you hear that? You're included. Blessing of Abraham comes through his descendants, comes through Jesus himself, and you're included when you say yes to Jesus by faith. You're blessed to bless. So if you've placed your faith in Jesus, you're part of the promise. You're not just a recipient of the blessing, you're part of God's plan to carry that blessing forward. You're now part of the family of Abraham, but more importantly, the family of Christ. You've been adopted into the family of faith, not by your family's blood, but by the blood of Christ through his grace. One of our pastors said this, through Jesus, you've already been adopted into the family of Abraham. You've received the same inheritance, not of land, but of life. Not of prosperity, but of purpose. You've been blessed so that you can bless. You have been extended grace so that grace can be extended to others. End of quote. Wow. All because of a blessing that came from God to Abraham through his descendants, ultimately through Jesus. And we have a perfect example of what it looks like that Jesus blessed others. Jesus lived his life as a blessing to those he encountered. He healed, he taught, he touched, his miracles. He pointed them to the Father. He loved them. This is the kingdom. Jesus hung out with people who others would have been shocked to see. For us today, it might be people maybe at school in the cafeteria. Somebody's sitting alone in the lunchroom. Or maybe at work, maybe a coworker who no one talks to because they're difficult or a thorn in everybody's side. Those who didn't deserve a seat at the table. That's who Jesus was, and that's who he is. A friend of sinners. That's just not a label, it's how he lived. Remember Zacchaeus? A wee little man? We won't sing it here today. I know, Mark, you could. Little man, tax collector, took too much so that he could benefit himself. Jesus came one day through his village, stopped at the very tree where Zacchaeus, a short guy, couldn't see. He had heard about Jesus, heard about his teaching, heard about his miracles, wanted to see more. Up in the tree, Jesus stops there, looks up to him, says, "Hey, come on down. I'm going to your house today." Salvation through Christ came to Zacchaeus that day. Jesus was a blessing so that Zacchaeus could be a blessing to those around him. His heart and life were changed in such a way that he gave back what he had taken, and more so, to be a blessing to those around him. It's where we see the heart of Jesus. Jesus didn't just bless the people the world expected. He blessed the broken, the lowly, the people who were far from God. Why did he do that? Zacchaeus was blessed by Jesus and in turn carried that blessing forward. We've been blessed to be a blessing. So what does all this mean? It means if you're a follower of Jesus, you've received the blessing of salvation through him. You're now part of the family of Abraham. Family of Christ. That promise back in Genesis 12. It's your story now. Galatians 3:29 says, if you belong to Christ, you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. You are blessed not because of what you've done, but because of what Jesus has done for you. So the question is, how do we live that out? That's what Bless the Book is all about. How do we live that out? We've been blessed. We've received God's grace. Now, how do we live that out? That's what this is a part. So you've got the sheets on your way out. Just really briefly, B, the first B, the only B, in the word bless, means begin with prayer. Ask God, who are you calling me to bless? And then there's more to it than that. The L, listen. Listen. Jesus was a master of asking questions and really listening. Blessing people starts with caring enough to hear their story, not fixing them, not preaching at them, but listening to their story. Who they are, what they've done, where they're at. So B-L-E. What's the E stand for? What do you think? Paisley? It has to do with something we do three times a day. E for... No, E. Eat. Yeah. Eat. Good. So some of Jesus' most powerful ministry moments happened over meals, right? Think about it. Zacchaeus' transformation happened before, or because Jesus said, I'm coming to your house today. We're going to eat. So sharing a meal creates a space for connection. S, I won't put you on the spot. S is for serve. First S is for serve. Once you've listened and shared a meal, you'll begin to see how you can serve them, not out of obligation, but out of love. And then the last S is share your story. Eventually, as relationships grow, God often opens the door for you to share why you live the way you do. If you show you care and listen to their story, they in turn are going to want to listen to your story. Make sure you get that on the way out. We'll talk more about it in the next number of weeks. Bless. We're blessed to bless. You and I don't necessarily deserve the blessing of life, but we've been given it. And yet when we realize that we live in light of the cross, extending grace in the light of the cross, we can begin to extend grace to others in the same way. So let me ask you a question this morning as we wind up. Who is your Zacchaeus? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your grace to us. Thank you for blessing us in so many ways. Help us to be a blessing to those around us and point them to Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.